stream of life with the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy as deep cries out to
gratitude of thanks for the church being a blessing to my cousin's wife, Cindy London. Last week I took that gift and delivered it to her personally Monday, and it was well received. Still believing for her, the anointing, that same anointing that came upon Jesus for service, that same anointing is upon every believer that puts faith in Christ Jesus. That if we lay hands, if we anoint, in the name of the Lord will raise those people up. I anointed Rodney. I anointed his wife that day for blind eyes to be open, for kidneys to function, for a pancreas to function. And I reminded her that God is still the healer. And as long as we got breath, his miracles, his power is still available. If we'll just faint not in the day of adversity. Don't faint not. Amen. I am not the healer, but I believe in the healer. I am not the Savior, but I believe in a risen Savior. And Jesus, my risen Savior, said, the works that I do, he said, you, talking to the church, you shall do. So don't get in condemnation. If you don't see it happen right then, you believe by faith, Reed's shoulder is healed. And don't you stagger. Don't you stagger elsewise. Don't you go to the right or to the left. You just stay on that path that he is healed. His shoulder is healed. And you focus on what the Word says, because the Word, love, never fails. There's a lot of bad, evil things going on in this world. You notice I said the world. The United States is a part of the world, amen? But we can't stagger at what the world and faint not. We got to focus on what the promises of God has said, what Jesus has said. God knew when Adam fell, God knew. He knows the end from the beginning, and he saw all the suffering. God does not enjoy us suffering, but he enjoyed letting Jesus suffer so that we wouldn't have to. That's what you got to know. That God doesn't enjoy suffering, but he enjoyed himself. He became sin. God himself died for humanity. That pleased him. That's why it pleased him to let all that judgment come on his son, because he knew his son would not be in hell. Neither will you if you put faith in Jesus. For a little while, he had to forsake him for 3 days. Amen. For a little while, for a little season. For a little while, all this evil is going forth. But not for much longer. Not for much longer. I was just sitting around my table with my wife and eldest sibling and just asking questions, you know, about You know, the thousand-year reign with Jesus on the earth, and the devil, an angel, is going to come and chain that old slew foot. Going to chain him up for 1,000 years. You know, when you chain up a dog for a couple days without food, he gets uglier than he's ever been. You know, a dog on a chain, that's really not good for a dog. Or any kind of animal on a chain. Come on, nobody should be chained. You imagine the evil devil that he is going to be chained up for 1,000 years. There ain't no salvation for him. You know what? He ain't going to be happy when he gets loosed. But Jesus has got something waiting for him. Amen. He's got us. He's got the word. The word of his mouth is going to destroy him and put him in the lake of fire. I don't understand it all, but I believe it all. Amen. I don't have all the understanding, but I believe it. And we're going to see it with our eyes. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God forevermore. I just shared with somebody the other day, I won't mention name, but you ain't got no problem, my brother. All you need is faith in God. I think you need to hear that. Anybody know who mottoed that? All right, we got it on the right side. It was quicker over here. See, he, Pastor Jim, he's a Navy man, so R.W. Shambach gave his life to Jesus on a Navy vessel, I believe. He had been running from the call of God as long as he could run. Now, God will let you run forever. He'll let you run off the end of that ship. But he probably got a fish out there to catch you. Amen. Why? Because he wants you to fulfill your purpose. Amen. And his purpose is knowing him. God's purpose is for us to know him. So today, I want you to know him. I want to know him more than I do. Amen. That's where we need to go, to that well of living water. See, what when we think we know God, we need to go a little bit deeper. Take me a little bit deeper, Lord. Amen. Mama was not a swimmer. And I won't say what she said one day when some of my crazy friends, of my brother-in-law, crazy friends, were a little tipsy, threw Mama in a pool, swimming pool, above her waist. She come up, Mama let some words fly. She said, she's a Christian, she believed in Jesus. But she wasn't quite too sanctified that day. I'm sure she probably repented the Sunday morning, but she don't swim, and she was going under. Mama come up, man, I ain't never seen Mama that mad. I remember that day. She's chased me into a lake before because I was running away. Mama was bigger than me. I couldn't go but waist high. You know, Mama was bigger. She yanked me out of that lake. Or she might not have come after. She might have said, you got to come home and eat sometime. And you got to sleep sometime. I go to sleep with one eye open, you know, looking for Mama. Where Mama coming to whoop me? Again, it's called whoopings. But you know what? God gives us whoopings sometimes, but it's not to scar us. It's to save us. It's to save us from the one that wants to kill us. That's the devil. And he works in the children of disobedience. I'm talking about the devil works in children of disobedience. Not only the parents. If you're disobedient to parents, you'll be disobedient to God. But God, if he be for us, amen. Come on, parents. Keep giving God some faith. Keep giving him some words. And bind that old devil in Jesus' name. So you can bind the devil. You know, but once that... those individuals, when they come to Jesus, then he's loosed. You know what I mean? We can bind him to a certain point, but when they come to Jesus, he's loosed. Amen. The devil's loosed off of their life. And then they got to start walking by faith. Amen. But God is for us. So today, I want us to turn to John, chapter 3. Tell you what, I get going, my mouth gets quicker than my, what's coming out of it. Go to the book of John, chapter 3. Verses 14 through 17. My book's in my place is in John, but I'm in John chapter 8. But you go to John chapter 3. And it says, and as Moses, Jesus talking here, says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You notice it was the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, John 3:16 there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But don't stop there, for God sent not Jesus, his Son, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, see, it's all got to come through Jesus. Your salvation comes through Jesus. You got to come out of the world to Jesus, but the world through him might be saved. That's the way God set it up. That's the way. There's only one way, and it's Jesus. Don't listen to all the other religions. Just keep preaching, being a witness to them, but you're not accountable to them. For them, you're accountable to them. You just tell them what God showed you, and then pray for them, and then walk away. Amen? But you walk away with peace in your heart by the witness of the Holy Spirit. And God manifests. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, you put your faith in them, they manifest, and they heal your body. They transform your banking account. Things work in your life that used to not work. That's how God reveals himself to those that believe him. Amen? So these particular verses speak of how, come on, we've been set free from death and the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the wages of not believing in Christ is eternal separation from God. That's spiritual death. Not only without God we will have physical death, that's appointed to every man, but after that, the judgment. But if you come to Jesus, he's my judge. And he says, Father, forgive them. He set us free. Amen. So when you come to Jesus, your judgment has been satisfied by Jesus. He's your advocate now. Amen. He's there to say, Father, I can't find no evidence on them. The judge, the Father says, they're free. Free indeed. It went three times on those scars, those hammers. When it came down, what was that? Freedom. To Jesus, it was pain, it was suffering. But to the Christian, it was freedom. Freedom from the old devil. Freedom from that sin. Freedom from disobedience. Why? Because Jesus was obedient even unto death. The death of the cross. He was obedient to do, Father, we agreed on this. Before I took a body, I will be the sacrifice. And when every time that hammer hit the nail, Jesus knew where he was going, and he knew where we're going. Hallelujah. He's not going to stay in hell. He knew. He knew the Father. And his Father never lied. So these verses speak of how we've been set free from death. Now, this came to me just sometimes I look at words and then God shows me words. He dissects them for me. And he spins them around sometimes. And I look and I listen. Because I know it ain't just for me. I'd never seen this before. And I've seen this before when we think about the USA. Because this is our country. It's my country. It's where I was born. And then USA, they say, well, where is United States in prophecy? Well, if you look up the word Jerusalem, USA is right in the middle. Jerusalem. But don't just take the word. All men in the world were created equal by God. Amen? But I was looking at the word USA, and this is, I don't know how far back it's been, maybe a couple months. And I put my notes because I know that's going to work somewhere in an offering or somewhere. I'm making notes. And then God, you ever played that game called Scramble? You take letters and you form words. Well, it's kind of like God takes little sentences here and he makes a sermon out of it someday. He just kind of puts he gives me the pieces of the puzzle, and he is the puzzle. You know, the old saying, a picture paints 1,000 words. But God said to me, but I paint the picture. A picture paints 1,000 words, but God gives us the picture. Without the picture, we couldn't, God paints the picture. And he is the word. Amen. But America was founded on the word of God. And I'm just learning a little bit about my history because I failed world history. Didn't care 2 cents about it when I was in school. I care about what God cares about now. Amen? Christianity is a religion that where its followers do not rely on their works to save them, but rely on their Savior who has saved them. Christianity. Salvation has been provided, John 3:16, for the world. That's our God. He loves the world. Every man can freely, whosoever shall come, let him come. Amen. When Jesus went to that well, he was coming to the world. Amen. She was just an example he used, but he came to give living water to the world. Hallelujah. There's water in heaven. There's streams in heaven. Amen. There's rivers in heaven. There's a tree in heaven, a tree of life. And we're going to, and the leaves are for the healing of the what? The nation? No, it says nations. God knows our nations need healing. The USA is a great part of that tree of freedom. to the world. There's not many nations like ours that can send food to the poor, that can send missionaries to preach the gospel. And we've got Rick Renner. He's over in Russia. My God, Russia's in war with Ukraine, but you know what? There's not war where they're at. They're ministering. They're preaching the gospel in Russia. But they're United States citizens that God sent to Russia. Because, see, God doesn't see nations or one nation above the other. He sees nations. And God sent Jesus to the world. Hallelujah. And he's sending us to the world to preach and teach the word of faith to the world. Wherever he points us, directs us, sends us, here we are, Lord. Let us go. And he's provided the way. Amen. The USA, United States of America, is a nation that was birthed out of the foundation that it's not about me. And I seen this in the USA. I saw us. I dropped the A. The Lord shut my eye. It's not about me. Freedom's not about me. It's about us. And I'm starting to read some of the things that I'd never heard, that I had been read to me, but I never heard, because you know what? I didn't have ears to hear, because my eyes were so blinded by the lust of this world. And I didn't have a covenant with God. I didn't love the things that God loved because I was not part of his family. But the USA, America, is all about us working together, and not all of us are working together. Amen. Come on, can I get it? Amen. But that's not God's problem. That's our problem. We got to work together. Amen. But don't expect somebody that doesn't have a covenant with God, to work together with you. But God could even cause your enemies, come on, to be at peace. He didn't say work with you. He said, what, be at peace with you. My God, I don't want my enemy working with me. If he's my enemy, he might stab me in the back one day. Come on, we know the devil. He disposes, he hides himself as an angel of light, deception. Got that little dagger. I'm going to stick you one day. No. But we got the Holy Ghost, amen, who reveals to us the enemy's camp, what's going on. Okay, amen? If we'll listen, we'll know what the enemy's doing. So this is what I saw. We are USA. It's about us working together to keep what? Our freedoms that was given to us, bought for us, by bloodshed. Against, you can call Great Britain, was our enemy. Come on, they was trying to tyranny. They wanted to tell everybody what to do and how to do it. So this, our freedom was won through the blood that was given on the battlefield of brave men and women who loved God and loved America. What did I say first? Who loved God and loved America. And that's what freedom stands for. I got a few quotes that I pulled that was, to us, famous quotes. I didn't pull up a lot, but I wanted to, I hope we got these in order, Kelsey, but John Dickinson, one of our founding fathers, he says, "Then join hand in hand, brave Americans all, by united we stand, by dividing we fall." I think I can find that in the Word of God. We got to stay in unity, right? As brothers and sisters in the Lord, there's strength in unity. But when we get divided, what? We get weak out here by ourselves. And that's where the devil likes to work on the weak ones. But we say we the strong ones. In Christ, we can what? Come on, that's your keynote scripture. Read, through Christ, we can do all things. We a Mountain Dew can. We can do it all. Amen. We can do. Rosa Parks said, "I'd like to be remembered as a person who wanted to be free and wanted other people to be free." I'll go ahead and give you the message of my title. Freedom, not just for me, but for thee. That's what God is like. It ain't about me. It's about, if I get free, I can help you get free. Amen. If I can get healed by the healer, I can help you get healed by the healer. And if I don't understand it, I have a book that tells me how I can do it. By faith. Amen. Everything you're going to do, you're going to do by faith. But there's other that's already walked. Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah built. By faith, Noah built an ark He built a big boat. Never knew what a boat was. Amen. Come on. What are you going to build for God? Come on. What are you going to build for God? We don't need a boat right now. Amen. You might need something in your neighborhood. Because when God gives you the vision, it's for an appointed time and season. But don't you give up just because it ain't raining yet. Come on. Don't you? God knows when the rain's coming. He knows when the trouble's coming, but He wants us to be prepared before the rain comes. What? To help somebody be. If you got in the boat, you got free. Come on. Noah and his family got free. The whole world, that boat was big enough for a lot more people. God could have got rid of a couple giraffes if He needed to, because you're more important than a giraffe. God can create another one if He needs to, but He created us. He made a covenant, and by His sovereignty, He knew who would get on the boat. God never builds nothing too small. He's an overcoming God. He's a too much God. He's a Jireh. My God's my provider. God don't stop by filling your cup. He overflows my cup. Amen? So God knows who's coming. Heaven's not a small place. There's more than enough room. Amen? You might catch, when we get there, you might catch, now I'm talking the thousand-year reign, you might catch me at the beach, you might catch me at the mountains, and there's other places I ain't been yet. You might catch me there. Amen? Because I'm looking to do whatever God needs me to do. Thank you. Now, that thousand-year reign, we ain't just going to be up on a cloud sucking up the sun. No, we're going to be working. God's got something for us to do. Amen? He's about doing something, and it's going to be good. Come on. It's going to be good. Rosa Parks wanted other people to be free. President John F. Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you. My God, there's a lot of people asking, why ain't you doing it for me? But he said, what can you do for your country? Because, see, it wasn't about, what can I do? And then my last one here, this was actually by Emma Lazarus. And she was a Jewish lady. And this is actually engraved on the base of the Statue of Liberty, which I've never seen. But by faith, I believe. And I believe that she had a dream in her heart. She said, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to what? Breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, the tempest tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. She's famous for writing that new colossus, which is engraved on our statue at the bottom of the Statue of Liberty. Now, tomorrow will be July the 4th. Second day of July 1776 will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. And wait a minute, this is another quote. I'm sorry, I had one more. This was John Adams. He said, the second day of July 1776, because I wasn't born yet, that's a long time ago, 246 years tomorrow. 246 years, and that's not a long, long time. That's only like two generations. He says, it will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated, and I testify, last night there were some celebrations. I heard them, oh, and the dog heard them. His prophecy came true. That it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to who? God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illumination from one end of this continent to the other. I would say from sea to shining sea. I remember singing that in school. You will thank me transported with enthusiasm, but I am not. I am well aware of the toil and blood and treasure that it will cost. What? I didn't see this cost who? Us. The USA is about us. It's going to, I didn't fight on the wars, but it's cost to me. Us. I've got to stand up for those that fought for us. We got to stand up together for our freedoms, because if we don't, we can see how easy they can be taken away. Amen. By those that want to hurt us. And his name is the devil, but he's possessed in people. He was possessed in King George. Am I right? Oh, Lord, I said George. Was it George? King of Britain? I've watched some movies since then. Thank you, Lord. And I prayed King George met Jesus. Yet through all the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light. Did you open up with that read? Light. He could see the rays of lavishing light and glory. I can see the end is more worth than the means. And that posterity will triumph in the day's transaction, even although we should rue it, which I trust in God we shall not. It's written on our money. Here's a guy that believed in God we trust. So as a Christian, and I'm a Christian, the cross was not a lovely picture of victory, but a great place of suffering and pain and bloodshed. Can I get an amen? Jesus wasn't shouting kumbaya or glory, 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 hallelujah on the cross. No, his last words was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The empty tomb was our place of victory. For Christ had declared, see, our independence was declared before it happened. Jesus declared, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll build it, I'll raise it up. So we had some men and women and children full of the Holy Ghost that believed in America, believed in the freedom of God and country and the world. So tomorrow, July the 4th, as a nation, we'll be celebrating 246 years of being free from the control of the British crown. On July 4th, freedom was declared, and that was the birth of our great country. I just want to read the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. I quote, it says, when in course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands. As I read this, I want you to see Christ in the USA. I want you to see God in America. Inspired. Men and women and children are still inspired by God. Even though in war and in battles, we still have inspiration by God. Because Jesus knew. He knew the thief. It says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separate. By our words we shall be justified, and by our words we shall be condemned. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men, this sounds like God, all men, Genesis, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, for all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that to secure these rights, governments, wait a minute, I don't want to leave out some of the main things here. We are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, see, just saying it don't get it done. Come on, we're faith people. Just saying I believe in God don't get the kingdom built. You got to get out there and you got to do what you believe. See, they were declaring something here. The pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it is the right of the people, not the government, we the people, of the people to alter or abolish it. And to, switch pages here, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles as organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety, happiness, prudence, indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience have shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurps, that's a hard word, pursuing invariable the same object, invents a design to reduce them absolutely to positum. It is their right, it is their duty to throw off such a government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and this is speaking over 246 years ago. They've been suffering way too long. Enough was enough. And the Holy Ghost said through these people, God came upon them. This is what we got to do. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. This ain't working. Come on, we know. Before Christ, my life wasn't working right. I had to cast off the world, and I had to put my faith in Jesus. Amen. As an American citizen, me talking now, that was a good quote. I'm reading more about our history, not see my history. The message is not for me, it's for thee. As an American citizen, I am thankful and grateful for the brave men and women, and I salute some of them here. They were saluting me, but I salute you guys. You fought for what you believed was right. You joined up, you signed up. You went out. You did what you believed in. You secured it. You did whatever your commanding officer told you to do, right? Well, Jesus has commanded us to do some things. Amen. As Christians, as American Christians, we're in America. But you know what? Even when I go to Africa, I'm still an American citizen, but also I'm a Christian. I got dual citizenship. So I like to say I got a double barrel. Got a double barrel. I never shot much guns, but most of them was either a double barrel or single barrel. Because if Jesus said, if I love you, I'll tell you the truth. Amen. I'll tell you the truth. What you're doing is wrong. Sin is wrong. The way you're treating your brother, your sister is wrong. And he was a Jew. Amen. He told him the truth. As an American citizen, I'm thankful, grateful for men and women who sacrificed their possessions and their lives for the freedoms that I now enjoy. Well, I'll say we, because it ain't about me, it's about us. We're only given a short time here on this earth to fulfill the course God has given us. We don't have a day to spare. We need to be about the Father's business. But even so now, as a citizen of heaven, as a Christian, a citizen of heaven by the blood shed of my Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, I am forever grateful and thankful for the gift, not only of freedom, but of everlasting life. Come on. You can be in the land of the free and be bound by the devil to hell. Come on. Great nation. But when people said, do you believe in God? Yeah, let me get a quarter out. Here it is. I believe in God. Look, he's on my money. That ain't believing in God. Believe in God, are you a witness to the resurrection? Come on, are you a witness? Do you know when you breathe your last, you'll see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And if you don't, you won't. Come on. You'll be separated to a devil's hell forever. That's the truth. Jesus said, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Amen. He said, whosoever will come, let him come. Let him come to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. So I'm grateful for the everlasting life that was attained by his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary that bought freedom to all people. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Freedom, not just for me, but for thee. I want to share, I've shared this before, I don't know if everybody, have you not heard about the kicking chicken testimony? Have you not heard? There's one that hasn't heard. Okay, man, well, maybe some of y'all had ears, but y'all didn't hear that day I talked about the kicking chicken. How many have heard and know about my kicking chicken testimony? My God, I'm going to have to keep telling them stories more than once or twice or 10 times, Jim. Freedom. I taught a message one time. Freedom in the kingdom. There's freedom in the kingdom. I wanted a car when I was 10. I'll just go ahead and tell the truth. As long as I can remember, I wanted to drive Mama's car. She had a three-speed, she had a stick, a 55 Chevrolet, and it wasn't pretty, but it was drivable. Right now, that thing would be worth some money. 55 Chevy with a three-speed on the column. First, second, called it the H. Third, reverse was up and Because I couldn't drive it, but I could. Mama let me shift to. See, I didn't have a daddy. I had a daddy, but he wasn't a daddy. He wasn't there. See, daddy should have been teaching me how to drive, but you know what? I got mama. Mama wouldn't let me drive all the way, but she let me change the stick. I said, Mama, you push the clutch in and let me do the H down a old dirt road. Mama helped me learn how to drive. So my first car was a 1967 GTO. That's gas, tires, and oil. That's what it cost. I went with GTO. It wasn't pretty. I got it for like $900. It didn't look pretty, but I liked the way it sounded and the way it ran. And it was a sporty car. So I bought it when I was four. Mama bought it for me. Let me tell the story right. Sorry, Mama. Mama went to the bank for me, but I brought the money to Mama. Mama was my bank. But she didn't have it either. She had to go to the bank. So I had to go to the chicken house. I had some neighbors that had a chicken farm. So at 14, I'm getting up early. I'm getting eggs, going in early in the morning, getting eggs. It stinks. It's hot in the summertime. It's probably 120 degrees in that chicken house. 9,000 chickens, 1,000 roosters, and they don't like you invading their territory. I'm 14 years old, and I'm also mowing grass. My neighbor's got, he's got the same one that's got the chicken house. He's got a riding cadet lawnmower and a push mower. All I got is a push mower. And our landlord, he had a wallet. You think my wallet's big. He didn't have a phone in it, and he was about two times that big because it was full of cash. Say cash. Cash. Cash money. He owned probably about 20. We lived in a trailer park, and somebody needed to cut the grass. And I found out his name was Mr. Keesler. If you mow his grass, he'd give you cash that day out of his billfold. Cash money. Now, whether he reported to Caesar, that's between him and God. But I didn't report mine. I spent mine. Amen. I didn't know nothing about Caesar back then. But he paid cash money. So me and Derwin Long, we had us a covenant. He had the lawnmower, and we divvied it up. You know, I paid him a little extra, I'm sure. I think Derwin, didn't I? Because he had the equipment, but I lived in the trailer park. I had the contact. Come on, this is the way business should work. I got the contacts, but I need some equipment. That's called covenant. Come on, it's a preach. And he brought the equipment. I had the contact. We got the money, and we made sure they had gas, and if there was any maintenance needed on the lawnmowers, I paid Daddy Long. His name was Jerry Long. Both of them's in heaven now. They were kind of like one of my daddies. He was kind of like a daddy to me. See, because you need to learn about work. Come on, men. Women, we need to know about work. So I forget what I got, what I made, but it wasn't a lot of money, but it was cash. Cash. And then Mama, I forget what the loan was. That's back in the days when you had books and you write down when you go make a deposit and you keep subtracting it plus the interest. You know, don't forget the interest that the bank's getting. Thank God the Bible says we're supposed to be the lenders. We're supposed to be being a blessing to somebody else, amen, being their bank and be a better blessing. That's the way God set it up. He blessed you to be a bank for somebody else. Sometimes help somebody out. You want to be helped? You want friends? Be friendly. You need a car? Help somebody else get their car. Come on, that's the way. Each seed brings forth after its kind. We're going to get about that one day, about the offering. Every seed produces after its kind. Come on, you want kindness? Be kind. You reap what you sow. That's kingdom principle. So I wanted a car. And Mama said, well, you don't have a daddy. We didn't have that conversation. I just probably told Mama, I want a car. I got some money. I need. Can you get some money? So I worked and I paid her and I got that car paid for it, $900. And then I went and had to get a paint job, wanted to make it look good. Had to get me some speakers for a radio. But going to that chicken farm was not, it wasn't exciting work. You had to wear gloves because you're moving the chicken to get the eggs. But sad but true, chickens don't live too long. They labor pretty hard, bring all those eggs, and they don't last too long when you get a big colony of chickens. It's hot and they're working hard and, you know, they die. Chickens die. You know, these ain't the chickens you eat at K&W. These are just chickens that lay eggs. I hope they didn't take those chickens because they look pretty rough after 6 months and go fry them. I don't think they did. They put them in something called an incinerator. When they die, they burn them up, you know. Just telling you a little bit about what I saw, what I smell, because I'm shoveling chickens into the burner, you know. You don't want to be in hell. Come on. I smelt a lot of things, and it wasn't nothing like hell is going to be. That's a real place. But those chickens, when the old ones die, you got to replace the old ones with the new. You got to have some, that's your business. You got to, so when the old, you got to bring in the new ones. You can tell when they come in, they white and pretty. You know, they hadn't been picked on. The old roosters pick on them, pick their feathers off. You know, the old ones, they start looking like me. They bald, you know, they've been there a while. They get all their feathers getting picked off. They don't look good. So the new batch comes in. Boy, they prime. Boy, they where are we going? But then they don't know what's coming. They don't know what's coming, Tammy. They think they free, but they ain't free. They got, these chickens come in, and they come in with their feet bound together. They got a band on them because that, I guess the one that's bringing them don't want them hurting herself on the trip, on the journey. So they band their feet, so they're just laying over chickens. Man, what a ride. What terrible. Get yanked off the farm, get your feet banded together. And I don't know how long they've been in this state of being bound. But when they get there, the owner comes out, checks out his chickens, and they set them free. Get them out of the box. And they cut the bands off. That chicken just burk, 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 burk. He just laying on his burk, 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 burk. You're free, chicken. You're free. Well, he don't know he's free. He's been bound up for hours, weeks, I don't know, probably hours, being fed, being watered, but he's bound. So you have to kick the chicken. You got to kick him to let him know, hey, hey, I'm free, I'm free. And then he starts flapping his wings. It's called we were kicking the chickens. See, they've been declared free, but they don't know they're free. See, freedom comes at a price. There's been a lot of people that's been bound. We were bound by sin. And I didn't know I was bound. But then Jesus set me free. Amen. He set me free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. There's a lot of Christians out there that are free that don't know they're free. They don't know they're free, Wayne. God sent us to teach them. You're free. You're free from sin. You're free from all the guilt and the shame that evil people possessed by the devil have said to you. You are free. God needs us to go help. Not only get the sinners free from hell, but there's some Christians that need to know they're free. They're free from the tyranny of the devil and all that he stands for. And not only has God sent us, he's given us the power. Come on. The devil's under our feet. And how do we defeat him? We defeat him with the words of our mouth. And then we get up and we do what we said. We love them. We hug them. We invite them to church. Come on, don't care what they look like. I care what they, Jesus says they're free. He has given to freely every man to be free. On that cross, freedom has been given to every man to be free from sin. They just don't know. Some of them just don't know. All they've heard their life, daddy would come home in our house and blame his wife and blame his kids for his failures. As a kid, I remember that. We're the reason that he failed. We're the reason he didn't go play in the National Football League. We're the reason his knee got knocked out. He didn't. All these excuses. But my daddy was free. He just didn't know it. He heard it. I'm sure God put people across his path. But he refused to believe it. See, freedom is a choice. Trusting God is a choice. And it is a battle that's going to be fought with blood, sweat, and tears. Faint not in the day of adversity, because if we do, the Bible says we're weak. But we got to know that we're strong. We need people that God sends, like the Robinsons, to come and are hungry for the Word of God and want to get up here and serve God and lead us in worship. Man, that's where, and Wayne, that's where we go to battle. We worship the Lord. And he touched it. He touched me this morning, and he touched me with his anointing, with his spirit. Because, the Lord, I say, Lord, you know, I'm prepared, Lord, but I want to say, I want you to put in my mouth what you need to hear. You need to hear this today. Amen. We're only a nation free because of God. And we're here to help other people be free. Amen. There's a lot of Americans in the nation that have got a wrong idea of what freedom is. They're patriotic, but they need to know their freedom in Christ. Because I don't want, and I speak this to Tammy because I think I've shared this before. When I was in school, I was ignorant of some things. I've never been prejudiced before Christ as far as skin color. I love people. I had been around an environment of hate at home that daddy would come home. Not just daddy, the places he would take me. And I guess I just determined in my conscience, I'm going to love everybody. Because I know what hate is. And hate can't drive out darkness. Martin Luther King said, only love can do that. And I learned to have an eye to love people. And I can remember, this is before Jesus. I like, and I still like some of the rhythm, but some of the words are deaf. I like country music. I was a big Hank Williams Jr. fan. My daddy was a Hank Williams. I'm sure I heard it in the house. So I loved Hank Williams Jr. One of them was Born to Boogie. I was Born to Boogie. You know, I just liked the music. I liked the beat. And I knew I was ignorant of things. And Hank Williams, he had the rebel flag, was in his concert. So I had me a brand new truck, 1984 Ford F, not F-150. It was a small version. I think it was smaller than that. Ranger, yeah. Ford F, it was four-wheel drive, brand new, first brand new vehicle I ever owned. And I was working and paying for it, and it was costing me interest. I tell you, it was costing me interest. And I was prettying it up. You know, guys, we like to doctor things up. We might like our cars look good. So I thought, well, I like that rebel flag. So I got me one of those. Back then, you could get a blue deflector on the front. I guess it was deflecting the wind. But it was just a fad. One of those fads you go through, you know, you get mag wheels, you get Krager rims. It was just a fad in our days. So I got me the blue because it was a dark blue Ford. And I put me two rebel flags on the side of it, and I put Born to Boogie. I was Born to Boogie. Here I come, my new truck. I was looking good. I was dating Sherry at the time, but I was ignorant of some things. Now, Teresa Sloan. Teresa, if you listen to this message, I miss you. I love you. She's our class president, and I have only been to a few reunions. She's of a little darker color than I am. But she was, just growing up, she could take her hands, and she was double-jointed. She could do a jump rope with her hands like this and go all the way around. I was like, my God, stop, Teresa, stop. That hurts me looking at you. But she come to me one day. She said, she might have called me Jackson. Jackson, what you doing with that on your truck? I said, what are you talking about? This is my new truck. It's my new truck. You not like my new truck, Teresa? Now, I'm talking about the flags. I said, they're pretty, ain't they? It was the Confederate flag. But see, I didn't know it offended her. Why? I didn't know nothing about history. I was ignorant. But I never saw her as different. See, I didn't know that. Sometimes that's a good history. Well, you need to know your history. You need to know the facts. I need to know what the cross stood for. I needed to know that. Because if not, I wouldn't know what freedom is. All the suffering that we've been through, Jesus saw it, the Father knew it, and he gave us his Son. He gave us a choice to choose life. And I didn't know that. I didn't know it offended her. And then I found out, you know, through history now, I see that wasn't a good time for her, for her family history. But see, I didn't have that eye to where I saw her different. I just knew Born to Boogie, and it looked good. But Paul said the same thing. He said, if I know something's going to offend me, if it's going to offend my brother, you know what I'm going to do? I wouldn't have had it on my truck. I didn't know that. See, there's a lot of people doing things they don't know is wrong, but they're wrong. Amen? And the only way you can make it wrong is to make it right is by Jesus. See, because he'll reveal something to you. If I was a Christian back then, I would have knew some things because God would have revealed, because it's not about me, it's about thee. Paul said, I'm in all things I have liberty, but if it's going to offend my brother that don't understand that liberty, I'll not have it. See, that's what we got to do if we want to win the world. Amen. If you know it's going to offend you, and I've heard, might as well just say this. There's a lot of Christians think it's okay to drink. And I'm just going to hit drinking today. I'd say not so. That wine that Jesus turned water into wine, it didn't have time to ferment. It was good wine. It was just fresh. The Bible talks about that fresh juice off the vine. But when you let it ferment, that thing gets an evil red eye into what the Bible talks about. It's not good for men to drink that wine when it's red. That alcohol, when it ferments. Why? Because your mind is not sober. I had a dad, I hardly remember him being sober because he was bound by alcohol. Well, he was bound by the devil. Alcohol was the way he suppressed his conscience that he knew it was wrong. Come on. And Jesus set me free. I used to socially drink over 22 years ago. But when I got delivered, when the Holy Ghost, when the devil came out of me, that was one desire that left. I had no more desire for Jack Daniels, Jim Beam, George Dickel, Wild Turkey, you name it. I had no desire for it because I had Christ in me, the hope of glory. But, and then I learned as a baby Christian, I heard some deacons. They said they were deacons. Say, it's okay. The deacon of the church. It's okay to have a little bit of beer, you know, just don't get drunk. But not for me, it was not okay. I said, I took one of the guys that was saying right here, I said, hey, Mark, don't do that. I read my Bible. It says, even though I have liberty to do all things, I'm not going to put a stumbling block before my brother. See, you might not have a problem with drinking, but I did. I'm not saying I did. Daddy did. So let's just say Daddy got free from drinking. And he comes over to me. I'm a baby Christian. He wants the witness. I'm a baby Christian, but I got my refrigerator full of Bud Light, Budweiser. Hey, would you like to have one? See, that's a temptation now to somebody that's been set free from drinking. I could be a stumbling block. I could cause my brother to go back in sin. I'm not saying drinking's good for you. It's bad for you. I'm just showing you that we have liberty. But let's do what Jesus says is right. Amen. What he says is right. It's tight. So although you might be free from something, there could be somebody around you that's not free. Amen. For conscience sake. Paul talks about that in Corinthians. Hallelujah. Freedom is not just for me. It's for thee. This is what the kingdom, this is what America stands for, is a light of liberty and freedom. I'm going to shorten this up a little bit. As Americans, as Christians, it's important to know our constitutional rights. And I've got a little one that we've joined partners with Liberty Council, Matt Staver. And I've got a little pocket constitution. We need to know our rights as American citizens. And I'll just remind you of, I don't have this, but you remember Paul at one time after Saul got born again, his name got changed to Paul. Had a different course in life now. But he also was a Roman citizen. He had citizenship as a Roman. And they had privileges being a Roman citizen. And at one time he was preaching the gospel and he called a riot. See, if you're preaching the gospel, you're either going to cause a revival or a riot. Because you're preaching the truth in love, man. You're not holding back, right? He got a riot stirred up. Some believed, but some didn't like what he was saying. And they said, they took him. And they was either in the process of flogging him or getting ready to flog him. And I'm sure the Holy Ghost said, mention you're a Roman citizen. That's wisdom. See, it was wrong, in other words, to call you guilty before being proven innocent. He had rights. And when he said that old guy, whoa, so you're a Roman citizen. And Paul said, yes, by birth. Come on. America was born, our birth was over 276 years ago because God inspired men and women to get out from that bondage so that we could help others become free about hearing about God and about Jesus. And Paul said, I'm a Roman citizen. So I've got rights. And Paul says, I was born. And this other guy said, well, it cost me a lot of money to get my citizenship. Paul could have pressed the issue. He could have had that guy probably sent to prison because he was breaking, what, the law. So it's good to know your constitutional rights because the devil don't care about your rights. Come on, and he uses people. But God, he'll reveal things to you. By rights, we will not shut these church doors again because God's law trumps man's law. And the Bible says, our Constitution tells us there that our rights shall not be infringed on, that the freedom to choose religion, the freedom of to gather and to assemble. Amen? Jesus said nothing about don't preach the gospel, don't open up the doors, and he is the door. And until the door shuts the door, ours is open. Amen? We're going to preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, lead people to Jesus, bring freedom to the world. Preach and teach the word of faith. Faith in Christ. So I'm gonna end right there. I'm gonna end with this. And I didn't even take us to John and Acts, but I think I think I got to you what the Lord needed us to know. That when you celebrate tomorrow, know there's people that are bound that think they're free. I'm talking about in the world, but also in the church. But not this church. We're going to be free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And Lord, our liberty is not just me. Say, I'm free. But no, go. Jesus said, go set the captives free. So when you get free, go kick some devils. Amen. Go kick some chicken devils. Go kick the devils. There are demonic devils, religious spirits out there that's been passed on from generation to generation. As disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus gave us a commission. And I charge you today, as I charge some students at Life Christian University. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, Jesus said, baptizing them. And next Wednesday, we're going to talk about water baptism. That's one baptism. But Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe. See, tomorrow we're observing our history of what our nation stands for under God. One nation, this nation was founded under God's principles. And if we don't stay there, it can be stripped out from us. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, this is what I like. I am with you till the end of the age. Jesus sent the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, he was poured out. He was received in. And he comes upon us for service. And Jesus said, he will not leave us. He left us the Comforter, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. Even though you can't see Jesus, he is present. Amen. And his power, he gave us power on the day of Pentecost. He gave us wonder-working power. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Are you free, Reed? Are you feeling freedom? You feeling some freedom in that shoulder? Some of it's manifest. It's got 100% yet. It's on the way, brother. By faith, you got it. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord. You are the healer. You have delivered us, Father. Whom the Son sets free, Lord, there's freedom in this place. There's freedom to freely receive everything. Lord, we thank you. You are the healer. Lord, you are the Savior. Holy Ghost, you are here to manifest Jesus in our midst. Father, we thank you, Lord, that there's freedom in your word. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we bind the power of the devil right now that's been trying to blind the eyes of our generation, not only our generation, but our children, Lord. He's been trying to come in there and steal from our kids, to manipulate and control our kids. Well, Lord, we bind that old spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for freedom ringing, not only in this church, but in this community and in our nation and in the world right now, Father. We thank you, Lord, for a revival taking place in your church, Father God. You said when you return, you'll come to a church that's going to be without spot or wrinkle. So, Lord, iron us with the Holy Ghost. Lord, turn up the fire. Turn up the heat and get these wrinkles. Get these spots off of the church, Lord. Lord, we ask you for the burn us with that consuming fire. Lord, open up the eyes of our understanding that we can see the enemy, see where he's working. And Lord, see into the spirit, Lord, the discerning of spirits. Lord, show us things, Lord, by the Holy Ghost. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for empowering us to be a great witness out here to the world for Jesus. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are just on the brink of coming back to this earth. But until then, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your great, your mighty work and move. This end time harvest that you're going to cause through your people. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for making us a training center to teach and preach and get it into disciples out here, Lord. We're not here to make converts. We're here to make disciples, to go out here and stand on the front line and set the captives free, Lord. We just kick the old devil in the name of Jesus. Lord, show us that. Show us those strongholds in people's, Lord, by the gifts of the Spirit, so that we can speak that word in due season, so we can cut those spirits off, Lord, and bind them and break them off people's minds, Lord, and off of their bodies in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God. You have given us power to use your name. We just thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for joining us today at Word of Faith Worship Center. I pray God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to Romans 10:8-10, The word is nigh unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We would ask you today to simply say, yes, I believe this, and I say yes to Jesus. Now, if you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to get into a good church. Our church is located at 757 Harris Street, Northwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28025. And you can also find us on the internet at wordoffaithworshipcenter.org or wofwc.org. We hope to see you soon. Blessings.